We're going to enjoy your message.
Can I feel free to just stand down here and go up there? And all right. Matthew just said, brother, no, you have to go stand there. I would have said, yes, sir. All right. Okay, thank you, Pastor Mike. The thing about going to Africa with Pastor Mike, you... going anywhere with Pastor Mike is it's an adventure. But when he told me that we're getting in this rental car and you drive on the other side of the road, that's not right. That's weird. And then he said, yeah, we're going to go all the way through this nation. We're going to go to that nation over there. And I said, okay, would you show me the map? He said, oh, let's try and find one. And so so we went to all these little stores. They don't have maps in South Africa. But then when you do get one, it's like maybe the size of my Bible, and you have to. And so Pastor Mike, he hands that to me and says, here, Tom, you navigate us. So we're going across Africa, driving on the wrong side of the road, and I have this little map, and he says, now you get us there. And it wasn't me, and it wasn't you. It was the Lord. And he is wild. Driving, all that stuff is true. Can we do this for just one minute? I'm going to start on this section. I'm going to go all the way to this side over here. Just out of this section, give me one word, two at the most, but one word that describes Pastor Mike, Cheryl. One or two words, just come on. Funny, bold, faithful, dedicated, approachable. Okay, the rest of y'all don't have any words left, all right? They took it all right? Okay, are you good enough? Anybody just itching to do a word over here? Okay, this section, Pastor, faithful, oh, they did that. Compassionate, caring, what? Intellectual, interesting. Joyful, committed. Okay, any more here? Inspiring, loving, caring, giving, forgiving, spiritual, genuine, happy. Did you say happy? Happy, adventurous. That's true. I'm sorry? Patient. All right. A friend. All right. Brother, when we went to Ukraine, I came home from Ukraine and I got out a piece of paper. I could find it. It would take me a while, but if I went back all through, because I didn't throw it away. And I just made a point of writing down Pastor Mike jokes. And they're really good. And if I read them to you today, he'd get embarrassed at a little bit of it, but they're pretty good. Because, and now it's not like he's just telling a joke. It's just you're in a situation. Yes, he is. And I would be embarrassed to tell you some of the things he said. They're not bad. Don't get me wrong. But Mike, did you really say that? He did. I promise you, he did. It's not. Bad, but just whoa. All right, I love you guys. I guess it's been a year or so since we've been here, and we went to a conference at Bethel with Pastor Mike and Cheryl and some of the worship team. Is James in here? Where is he? Hi, James. James, you guys have really grown, and I'm not talking about the numbers. You guys. Well done. Good job at orchestrating that and putting it together and loving good music, but realizing that the Holy Spirit is what makes it special. So good job at that, okay? And Tiffany, is she in here somewhere? You have an anointing. Sing louder. sing more frequently. Particularly, I really enjoyed, James, I really enjoyed y'all giving the congregation time to do spontaneous. That's a gift. And mine the depths of that, okay? And when you get to that spot, kick in, okay? Because there's an anointing on you. All right? So I was really blessed. I don't do this at my church very often, but I stood there and the Lord had to sit two times. He just said, Tom. And I resisted and I resisted because, and then I just said, okay, I'll do it. And I, you know, I ended up on my face because that's not comfortable, particularly at a church you don't know them too well. But I really enjoyed your worship. And because the Lord is really good. And to obey Him is a tremendous challenge, isn't it? Doesn't He ask you to get outside your comfort zone sometimes? He does. But if you want to be used by the Lord, you'll have to get outside your comfort zone. It's just, that's the way He is. I want to share a scripture with you. And would you just be quiet with me for a moment? Encourage you in this. Pastor Mike was already saying these things, but we're here because of Jesus. And we're here for Jesus. We're here by the grace of God. We weren't particularly looking for Him. Didn't the scripture say, you didn't seek me, but I found you? I'm thinking of verse in John. But we're here because of His grace, and He just reached down from on high and He just grabbed hold of us and He put something in our hearts. So we're here because of Him. So we have a lot to be thankful for. And then we're here for Him, which just means it's our job to magnify His name and lift Him up and bless Him and worship Him and honor Him. It's our job. And He's looking for, what's He call it in Exodus right here? He calls it, and you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We're priests. And it's our job to give Him praise, because that's what priests do. They minister to the Lord. So just keep it up. I just want to say keep it up. All right, I want to share a few things, and then I don't think we'll go long. But would you turn to Exodus chapter 14, please? Exodus 14, and you know the context. Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt, and they, you know, the plagues have happened. He's led them out. Pharaoh let them go. Finally, on that 10th plague, when the Egyptians and all those who had not applied, do you understand this? that everyone, it didn't matter what race or what nation you belong to, if you didn't put the blood of the sacrificial lamb on the doorposts and the lintels of your house, who was going to visit your house that night? The death angel. And that's a tremendous picture of what it's like to walk, because what it's like to be a Christian and walk in the Lord's ways, unless we apply the blood of the Lamb of God. Remember? The Lamb of God slain for the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist said about Jesus. Unless we apply that blood. Let's see. If I get up here, is it a little quieter? Okay. Unless we apply the blood of the Lamb to the doorposts of our heart, then the death angel, let me just put it this way, the adversary has legal right to our lives. Just because, number one, because we are of our father Adam, and number two, because we sin as well. That gives the adversary legal right to us. And so the death angel has every right to visit our house. Figuratively speaking, you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the house of our lives. But if we apply the blood of the Lamb of God to our hearts, and if we've appropriated that sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf, then the death angel he has to pass right over. Because the scripture says, the soul that sins shall surely die. So apart from Jesus, we're toast. Can I just use that word? But in Jesus, and Romans chapter 5 also says this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then it says, and while we were enemies, Jesus died for us. So not only the scripture that talks about when Jesus was telling his disciples, I want you to learn to be able to pray for your enemies. Well, that's exactly what God had to do for us. He loved his enemies. That's us. So much that he gave his son on our behalf. Now, I'm getting ready to take you to a scripture here, and we're going to talk about prayer in a certain measure, but I just wanted to make sure that we remind ourselves of the gospel, because the Lord's love for us is so great that he gave his son for us even when we're his enemies. And his passion for us motivated him and drove him, if I can use that word, but it led him and drove him to do something supernatural and substantial on our behalf, or we'd be lost. And it's because of his great delight in us and his love for us. And let's just choose a few other words, because he loves us and adores us so much that he wanted to add us to his family. And we must never forget that his delight and pleasure in us led him to do that for us. So that's why we turn our praises back to him. Okay. So Moses and the children of Israel, after the 10th plague, they've left the land of Egypt and they come to the edge of the Red Sea. And you know the story, because you know that Moses is, you know where he's going to go. Moses is going to take his staff and he's going to touch that Red Sea and it's going to divide. But before he does that, I want you to see here what's happening. Because Pharaoh, after the 10th plague, their firstborn of all died, and they've let the Israelites go, and then Moses and the Israelites go to the edge of the Red Sea, then does Pharaoh have a change of mind? He does. And he says, oh, what have we done? We've let our slaves go. And so he gathers all of his armies. I don't know whether to recapture them or to kill them. I don't know. But the point is he gets all his men and he pursues them into the wilderness. And they've got them trapped against the Red Sea. And here they come. But there's just a cloud, a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. It's separating them. But here's what Israel, what would you think if Pharaoh was chasing you? Would you be crying out? Would you be saying, oh God, help? Would you even be maybe even yelling it a little bit? Have you ever yelled help? Help! The bad guys, now I'm sort of making light of this a little bit, but here they come. Here's the sea on this side, the Egyptians on that side, and it doesn't look good. All right, now I want you to see something here. It's Exodus 14. Oops, I just changed. Turn the page. Moses answered the people. This is verse 13. Don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you'll see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. For the Egyptians you see today will never see, you will never see again. For the Lord will fight for you, and you need only to be still. Now here's Moses. He's speaking a word of faith, and that's, I've got that underlined in my Bible. You might want to underline that in your Bible as well. But he says, okay, you're going to see God act for you. Okay, but now I want you to see, even though they heard this from Moses, even though they heard Moses say, don't be afraid, stand still, you're going to see the Lord act on your behalf, even though they heard him say that, here's verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out? Okay, I want us to emphasize this for just a second. Why are you crying out? Now put yourself in their place. They're between a rock and a hard place. They're in a tough spot. And we get in those tough spots sometimes ourselves, don't we? Maybe it's with our children. Maybe it's with our families. Maybe it's with whatever the circumstance might be. We get in a rough spot sometime. And what do we do when we get in that rough spot? Don't we just normally call out to the Lord or even do the help or the cry out that we're talking about? Now listen, I want you to catch this because there's a point here that I want you to see. There's something I want us to see. It says, why are you crying out to me? Now you see, here's God saying, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Now, saints, this is what I'm going to suggest to you for just a few moments this morning. There comes a time when the Lord says to us, stop begging, crying out, calling upon me, stop. Now, I am not making light of that. I'm not saying that there is a time for a petition and prayers before the Lord. There's a time for calling upon him for help. There is a time for everything under the sun. But there's also a time when the Lord says to us, don't cry out anymore. Now, do you hear what I'm saying? Because here's the next line. So he says, tell the Israelites, move on. Now, here's the message I'm asking the Lord for us to communicate here. There comes a time when we stop petitioning the Lord to change our circumstances, and there's a time when he just says, get going. Okay, now what do I mean by get going? I want to illustrate it with, here's a little story. And sometimes, you know, does the Lord ever have to speak to you more than once? Just a few weeks ago, in San Marcos, one Saturday night, my Saturday night tradition since the mid-80s, I don't know when I started, but since the mid-80s, I would go to the church. In those days, I lived in Colorado, but I would go to the church on Saturday night, and I would study for my sermon, and then when I finished that, then I would pray. And I would pray until late, usually somewhere, but I'd finish around midnight, and then I would drive home or go home. I would climb the mountain and pray over our city. I would walk the streets of our city late at night on those Saturday nights. If it was too cold outside, I would just walk in the dark. I would walk circles in the dark sanctuary. But that was my tradition. Well, I've continued that here in Texas too, because we moved back to Texas in 98. And so there I was down there in San Marcos. I had come to the church. It was an evening. I was speaking the next day. And so I knew what I was going to talk about, but I was struggling. Pastor Mike, do you ever struggle getting your sermons together sometimes? This night, this was just 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was struggling. And so I came to the church that night, and I came into the dark sanctuary, and I laid down on the stage, face down. And I began to just call out to the Lord and cry out and beg. And after about 10 or 15 minutes of just begging, oh God, don't you know it? Do you think it's His will to lay a word on my heart for me to be able to share with the congregation the next day? Do you think I'm begging Him for something and having to twist His arm so that He would give it to me? But you know, sometimes that's what we do. We try to beg and twist God's arm that if we cry loud enough and long enough, He'll hear us and give us what we need. Well, now I know that there is a place in prayer for perseverance and remember, Jesus told the parable or the story of the lady who petitioned the king, and then Jesus said, but the Lord is much, He hears us, okay? All right, Lord, help me with this, please. So there I am, just laying on my face in the dark, in our sanctuary, calling out to the Lord. And after about 15 minutes of this, I heard Him say, Tom, would you get up? And Tom, would you start doing some stomping? Okay. I knew exactly what He was talking about. Now, just think about it, moms and dads. If when your little kids came to you and begged solid for 15 minutes, why are you laughing, James? Why are you laughing? It's not necessary, is it? Particularly if they're asking you for something. Dad, would you feed me today? Please? They don't have to do that, do they? That's good. That's the right answer. All right. You see, so here's what I learned from just 3 or 4 weeks ago. I got up and I began to just march back and forth across the stage. Now, this is what I did. I had to be reminded of a lesson. Here it is. For an hour, or actually more than an hour, I just prayed in tongues, back and forth. Because the Bible says you pray in English and you pray in the Spirit. And so for more than an hour, I just prayed in tongues. But I knew that when I was done praying in tongues, I knew that I was going to be changing and switching to English. I knew that the Lord was going to start showing me what to pray. And when I made that transition to English, and then I began realizing there were some things that I needed to identify by name, one word, and quit, like this verse says, the Lord, why are you crying out to me? And I realized I needed to take some authority that I hadn't been taking, because what I was doing was just marching back and forth. I'm sorry, I was on my face begging the Lord for something that it's His good pleasure that He wants to do. Now that's the very nature of this passage when the Israelites, they moved out of that land of Egypt and they were headed for the promised land. And if you'll go and look at it yourself, well, let me take you to one or two of these verses myself. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Okay, you will find this theme through the book of Deuteronomy. Let's look at chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, Girgashites, and Amorites, and all those guys, okay, nations larger and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you. Now listen, when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you. Would you say that with me? When the Lord your God has delivered them over to you. All right, now did you catch that? Okay, now look what he says next. Then you defeat them and you must destroy them. What I am suggesting to us is there is a part that we play in this whole thing called prayer and intercession and warfare and life. And in the New Testament, it goes like this. It says, it's in Romans chapter 16, the God of peace will soon crush Satan. My wife finished it. Do you know how to finish that? The God of peace will soon crush Satan. Underneath your feet. Now, do you see the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 7? The Lord will drive them out or defeat them, but you have to drive them out. Now, here, I want you to catch this because in Exodus 14, he was saying, quit crying out and move on. Because the time comes when petition is no longer the correct position in prayer to give to the Lord. You see what I'm saying? Petition means, oh Lord, would you do this, this, and this, and this? And we get into the circumstances that we're in, whether it's with our kids, and we pray for our kids, and we have challenges with our kids. I'm assuming maybe some of you guys have those same challenges. But the point is, we get into circumstances, and we keep saying, Lord, I want, would you do this, and would you do this, and would you change this circumstance, and change this in whatever you're facing, or... And we start, we give the Lord all those requests, and the Lord sometimes, he says, stop the crying out and start stepping on the necks of some adversaries. And so when I switched from tongues into English, I began to identify in one name, in one word, some of the challenges, or may I even say the adversaries that I was dealing with. I began to identify them by name, and I began to stomp on their necks by name. And I was praying on behalf not only of issues within our church, but also in our family. And I began to stomp on things by name. Now that's scriptural. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. Now there's one more passage. I want to take you to this passage and then we'll wrap. I want you to go to Joshua. The pictures are all here in the Bible. It's all here. Joshua chapter 10. And then, Kathy, I'm going to need my New King James. I didn't introduce my wife to you. This is Kathy. She's a godly lady. And I didn't choose her. God chose her for me because God picked me a really good one. Okay. Joshua chapter 10. The Amorites are fighting against the Israelites. And well, the Israelites, are their instructions are to drive the Amorites. And if you look way back even Genesis chapter 15, if you think, remember when God told Abraham, you won't be able to enter into the land yet because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Do you understand that? So later on, now they're getting to come into the land. And so the instruction of God to the Israelites is now you can drive the Amorites out. Well, there was five kings of these Amorites, and these five kings were attacking and Joshua gathers his army together and his men and his leaders and his military commanders and all the soldiers. He gathers them all together. It's in this passage where Joshua speaks to the sun. Now, that's impressive. When he says, sun, stand still over the valley of Ajalon, or I don't know what he said, how he said it, but... And the Bible says, never before, never after did God listen to the voice of a man like he listened to Joshua right there. I just think that's kind of cool. All right? But not only are they done, so they fight for a day and a night, I think it is. They fight these Amorites until they're defeating them, getting them all defeated. And finally, there's five kings that tried to hide in this cave. Five kings of the Amorites, whatever their names were. And so Josh, when they're found, Joshua says to his men, he says, okay, guys, roll stones up, pile stones over the mouth of this cave, and we'll deal with those guys later. And he says, now let's keep pursuing the armies. And they defeated all the armies of the Amorites, and then they come back, and then Joshua says, okay, pull the stones away. Remove the stones. And then he calls his military commanders forward, and he says, okay, men, to his commanders, I want you to put your feet on the necks of those. Can I say it like this? Put your feet on the necks of those devils. All right? As I was walking that stage and identifying by name things, Lord, help me be clear with this without trying to give away what I was praying about. Do you know what it means when you identify by name? Let's just say somebody is down and discouraged. What would be one name or one or two names that we would identify what they're going through? Did I hear depression? Yes? Those are all great answers. But depression, heaviness, discouragement, death. Okay. So that's what I'm talking about. Do you have the ability to look into a situation that maybe your children are walking through? Or look into a situation that your church might be walking through, or that you're walking through yourself at work, or you're walking through with your spouse? Do you have the ability to look into the situation and identify what the adversary is doing? Because the Bible says we are not going to be ignorant of the adversary's schemes. You have the ability to look into a situation and identify what you're fighting against. And when you figure that out, you pull that thing out. Let's just say those one word. For this one, we'll just say depression. And this is how you do it. You say, depression, I tread on you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. It's in Psalm 91. I'll tread on the lion and the cobra. I'll trample the great lion and the serpent. You see that? Behold, he's given us authority to tread on lion. I think this is Luke 10. Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, there's something in this Bible that has to do with our feet and trampling on the nature and the attacks of the adversary. And when you identify what it is you're fighting against, you put your foot on its neck. And I promise you this, as I walked that stage for close to 2 hours that night, I began to get text messages with answers that I had been praying about. And this is what I said. Wow, Lord, this really works. Now, I want to take you. We're wrapping up right here. Would you go to Psalm 18, please? How many of you read a Bible? I read the NIV, or have been for too many years. Because you need to switch Bibles every few years. So, I've read this one for a long time. And it translates some verses different. That when I read it in my New King James, I went, oh my goodness, that's not in there. Now, they didn't leave anything out. They just translated it way different. Okay? But I want you to see this. This is Psalm 18. Can I share this where he's at? He's saying, verse 4, the pangs of death have surrounded me. The floods of ungodliness have made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol have surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried out to my God. Now, doesn't that sound like what we just read in Exodus 14? In my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Is there any problem with crying out to the Lord? No. But after the appropriate amount of time, we quit crying out and we do something, okay? All right? Crying out, that's petitioning the Lord is just fine. And he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Now, this is one of my favorite passages because I just get this picture. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken, because he was angry, and smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth, and coals were kindled by it. And he bowed the heavens also, and he came down with darkness under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub and flew, and he flew upon the wings of the wind, and he made darkness his secret place. A canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies, and from the brightness before him and thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. And the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. I mean, we could just keep going, but I get this picture. Here comes God, and his smoke is coming out of his nostrils. You get that picture? I mean, don't make my daddy mad at you. Do you see that? When we were little kids, did we ever say that to our neighbor friends? You know, don't make my daddy's going to get you. Yeah, all right, didn't we do that? I think I did that. All right, but you see this picture? We don't even want to make him mad at us, do we? No. I mean, he loves us. You got that. But you understand what I'm saying. All right, here's where I wanted to go. Verse 37. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen underneath my feet. Okay, look at that. Underline that. They have fallen underneath my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. I love it. Verse 40 is what's different in NIV. Here's New King James. Just listen to this. If you're reading NIV, just listen to me. Just look up and listen. Verse 40, you have also given me the necks of my enemies. You have also given me the necks of my enemies. I just think it's a picture of the stomp. Identify what you're fighting against and start putting your feet on its neck. Because the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. In Deuteronomy 7 and Deuteronomy 9, the Lord God will defeat them and you shall drive them out. It's like this partnership. It's like the Lord hands them over to us. And we kick their tails. All right, would you stand? This is what I want us to do. Pastor Mike, is it okay if we pray for each other? Okay. All right. There's... in any group this size, just because I know you, because I know me, in any group of people, there's some people that you're fighting some things. I don't know what those things are, but you're fighting some things. You've got some circumstances, whether it's family, relationships, spouses, kids, work, provision, I don't know what it is, but you've been wrestling. And you've been calling out to the Lord. You've been crying out. Saints, this is where people get offended at God. God, if you loved me, why don't you hear me? You see that? That's where, and the adversary knows how to whisper those doubts. Well, if he loved you, you wouldn't be going through this. Have you ever heard that stuff? That's junk. But the adversary knows how to do it. All right. There's some people that you have some very real, current challenges. Not everybody. This is not everybody, but there's some people. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Let me see your hand. Okay. All right. Your hands are up. I want you to sit down. If your hand went up, I want you to be seated. Okay. All right. For the rest of us, see all these people seated? Just go gather around them and lay hands on them. And if those of you who are seated, if you want to say a one-word answer of what you're wrestling, you're welcome to, or you can just say, please pray for, and you can give a broad generality if you'd like, if it's something that's kind of personal. But you're welcome to do either. All right, all of us, we're the ministers today. We're going to be priests. We're going to be a kingdom of priests. So make sure that everybody seated has a group standing around them, and let's pray for them, okay? All right. You just go to them, and I want to pray the first prayer, and then I'm going to turn you loose to pray. Okay, you just gather around them.